You are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
99.9 KISW Metal Shop. I'm the Beard hanging out here with Chad Gray of Hell Yeah.
The Beard.
How's it going, man?
Why do they call you the Beard?
I don't know. This thing just grows every morning. What can I say? I keep shaving and pops back out of my face.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's got the same thing going on.
So the new album, Welcome Home, is out now. How are you feeling now that the album's out?
It feels great to have it out. And we turned it in. It's pretty wild. We turned it in like the in October, and then it didn't release until the following September.
Wow.
Which I've never had. You know, a record where, you know, they set it up that for that long.
But that's a long way.
We did the gratis tracks, you know, and stuff, and, you know, just so people could kind of see what we were doing and stuff. But yeah, it's great to have it out. It's great to be out supporting it. It's great to be able to not only do the celebration of life for Vinny, but to do it for Dime. And we feel like we're doing it for a lot of our heavy metal heroes and stuff. So Vinny was the muse for it, but at the end of the day, it's really about all of our heavy metal saviors.
Well, let's throw it back a little bit. What do you remember the first time you heard Pantera?
Oh God, yeah.
What was the song? What was that moment?
I think it would have had to be Cowboys from Hell, obviously, and it was probably, who knows, probably would have been like probably Headbangers Ball or something, I would imagine. You know, but. Maybe, but I also remember hearing it with a friend of mine, and me and this dude, literally, he had a old POS, you know, Mustang, and we literally drove around and listened to that record for 9 months. And I swear to God, if you didn't know who Pantera was, we didn't even want to know you. You know, it was just like, it was crazy. We were so into it. And then, after about 9 months of that song, and I told Vinny this story probably a million times, and he'd always entertain me and allowed me to tell it again. They did three warm-up shows for Vulgar. One of them was at a place called Mississippi Nights Club 367 in St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. And me and about eight dudes piled into a box truck, all of us in the back of the box truck, and drove down to this show. And it was an old, it was like a, probably about 2,000, 2,500 seats. And I mean, it was just balls to the wall. There's no barricades, like this way back in the day, you know, and this is before Vulgar came out. So these were like I said, like three warm-up shows or whatever that they did. And Vulgar didn't actually come out for like another maybe 4 or 5 months, which was weird. But they just wanted to go out and play. So they went out and played, and, you know, everybody went off, and it was amazing. So that was the first time I saw them, but I saw them 14 times through their career, multiple times per album, obviously.
Lucky.
Obviously, yeah. Yeah, I was very fortunate. I saw them so many different bands, you know, opening for them. One time I saw them, obviously, I think it was Trendkill, I think it was I Hate God, Deftones opening, and White Zombie.
Wow, that's a hell of a lineup.
Yeah. So there was a lot of those like that. They play with Neurosis a lot, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Morbid Angel, obviously, and stuff like that. So yeah, I saw him many, 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 many times.
So how did you end up meeting Vinnie Paul? How did you come to be in a band together?
Right? Tom and I started a band. We had met Tattoo the Earth in 2000, and we got on like first night. You know, they were headlining Second Stage, Nothing Face. Mudvayne was on a main stage with Head P and Slipknot and Slayer, and that was amazing. And then me and Tom just got on really great and broed down. And then it took about so that would have been like 2000. Yeah, it would have been 2000. So it took 5 years, maybe it was 3 years, 4 years before we got together. We wrote one song. We wrote Waging War, that's actually on the first Hell Yeah record. But it took 6 years to bring Hell Yeah to fruition, you know. And
wow.
In 06, you know, we started getting like mutterings from Jerry, the first bass player, like, hey man, I think Vinny wants to do this. I'm like, Vinny Paul? What? You know, and then next thing you know, I'm on the phone with him, 14 minutes and 38 seconds. I'll never forget that. And then a month later, I was on a flight to Dallas, and we got in a room and just started writing. And we had no clue as to what we wanted to be. We just wanted to get in a room and write. And you know, I think Vinny really needed it. You know, I mean, it was music is very cathartic, very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. You know, Vinny had mourned about at that point, you know, several years of for the loss of Dime, as we all did. And I think he saw that as an opportunity to fly a flag for his brother, you know, and to carry the torch for Dime. And we were happy to oblige that want for him, you know. So
during the course of this time, since this is a tribute to Vinnie Paul, what can the fans do at the show to pay proper tribute? What would Vinnie want the fans to be doing at the show?
You're supposed to do what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to just go and fall into it and embrace the moment. And, you know, that's what he would want. He loved to make people happy on every level. He was such a generous, gracious human being, but he really loved to bring people together with music, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's all we're asking, is that people come out. You know, we did the one show in, you know, that's all we talked about doing after Vinny passed. We did the one show in Vegas, and I swear to God, man, probably within two measures of that, you know, we had the puke buckets downstage edge, and we didn't know what we were getting into. And probably within the first two measures of the first song, it felt like the world had been lifted off of me, because I felt like Vinny was there. I felt like Dime was there. I was looking out over in the eyes of all those people. You know, we had all been mourning for so long. And I think that was like, it's almost like a switch for us to move, to shut off the mourning switch and to turn on the celebration switch.
Right.
You know, and, you know, a very cathartic, therapeutic moment for me personally. And we got done, man. As soon as we walk off stage, I was just looked at those dudes and I'm like, did you see everybody? Did you see how together we were? Did you see how much that brought everybody together? Like, we have to keep this going. We have to keep doing the good work for Ven and Dime and everybody, and take this around the country so people can experience what we just experienced. Because I don't think you can fully... I don't think you can fully let go of that mourning and grieving process until you do get in that room with those people, and until you do experience that music, you know what I mean?
Right.
And experience in the name of Vinny, you know what I mean? What he would want. And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. You know, so we just took it around, man. And I mean, every night's a new night, and we've had a lot of fun with it. And you can see in the people's faces. You can see it. I can feel it. I choose to believe that Vinny's with us every night. I choose to believe that Dime's with us every night, that Jeff Hanman's with us every night, that Chester Bennington's with us every night, that Chris Cornell's with us every night, that Lance Daly's with us every night, that, you know, Kurt Cobain's with us every night, and Jimi Hendrix and Lemmy and Ronnie James. And, like, it just lists those on and on, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you just want to kind of just do the right thing.
Yeah, carry the torch, you know, like they taught us.
Carry the torch for Melville, man. I mean, exactly. Absolutely. And it's a really good time, man. But it's fun how we've, you know, Vinny was the muse, the inspiration for this to happen. But then just every night, I've just kind of turned it into more about being much larger than certainly anyone in the building, and much larger than even Vinny, and much larger than Dime. It's like, it's just, and those people are God-sized. They were huge.
Of course.
Enormous. Well, their personalities.
Speaking of carrying the torch, your band has obviously opened the door to metal for all kinds of generations and brought a whole new crop of people into it. What were some of the bands that you got in, that got you into it in the first place?
Dude, I mean,
when you were a young kid, what was the first metal record?
My first heavy metal record would have been like a Too Fast for Love. That one was
awesome.
Like a
Sick.
Really, really great, great album. But then, I mean, it was crazy. It was like, you know, I got at that. It was like Shot the Devil. And then from there, it was just like heavier and heavier. I was like in, you know, it was like Slayer's probably my all-time favorite band. I just love that that band has never deviated, man. They've always been Slayer, and so much mad respect for those guys. I love the melody of Slayer, which Slayer does have melody. I love the heaviness of Slayer. Obviously Metallica, obviously Megadeth, the Big Four, obviously. But you know, you just keep going, man, because music just kept growing. It's like I just mentioned earlier, like Lane Staley, you know, Alice in Chains. It's, you know, not necessarily say to your quintessential heavy band, but what a heavy band, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you know,
Jerry Cantrell has the riffs.
Yeah, and Lane had the pipes.
Yeah.
You know, and then but obviously, you know, Slipknot and you know, those guys, you know, my band.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously your music taste seems to be all over the metal realm. Are there a couple is there anything outside of metal that you listen to that people might be surprised to find out that you're into?
I'm mostly a metalhead.
Yeah.
I'm mostly a metalhead, but I mean, you know, you get into music, you know, just good music. I grew up on, you know, my mom was young when she had me. She was still a kid. She was only 17. So, I mean, I grew up with the Eagles and Sabbath and Frampton and, like, you know.
Dude, everybody had that Frampton comes
to mind. Right, right, yeah.
It's like they were sending them in the mail, discs.
Steve Miller and, you know, all that ish. Like, I grew up on that, you know, see Motorhead and Ozzy. Obviously, I already said Sabbath, but and then after that, Ozzy and stuff like that. But I was always into, like, the classic rock stuff. I really loved classic rock, man. But it was because that was my life. You know, my mom was, you know, 17 years old, you know, when I was born. So she was still being a kid. So when she was 20, I was 3, you know, like this is back in the days, like cruising the strips and, you know, car hops and that ish, you know. Badass cars, muscle cars, and you know, me sitting on the back seat playing Hot Wheels, you know, listening to all this great music that was on the radio at the time, you know.
Hell,
like,
yeah.
You know, Do You Feel, Peter Frampton, 10 minutes long? That was a radio track.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a great radio track. An awesome song,
like you said. And then, you know, back to the Eagles and just all that switch issue.
So what,
Aerosmith.
What was the moment that you realized that you wanted to be a part of that? What made you want to pick up the mic and start?
You would have to go to that moment of, like, you know, Too Fast for Love and just that whole dangerous attitude, you know, that kids like me really loved, gravitated toward, dangerous, you know, GNR, all that dish, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. You know.
I feel it, man. So we're getting close to the end of the decade as 2020 comes to a close. What is the future looking like for Hell Yeah? Are there any words that you would use to describe this past decade of your life? And what are you planning to do for the future?
It's been awesome. Last decade's been awesome. Last couple decades have been awesome. You know, they've been painstaking. They're just like anything else, man. You know, right? It's like we can all pick out a moment in the last decade that was probably life-changing and great. And, you know, we can also, you know, I can name two right off the top of my head that took my breath away and made me the saddest I've ever been. You know, there's always an ebb and a flow. And, you know, you can always find that one great moment, and you're certainly always going to be able to find that one terrible moment. So, you know, you just have to embrace life and just keep pushing. But, you know, I'm always excited to see what's to come. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, music is ever-changing, ever-evolving. So that's always exciting, you know, to see what we have coming around the bend, you know.
Any spoilers? Is there anything big coming down the pipelines?
I don't really think. I mean, just whatever. You know, I don't know. You never know. I mean, you never know.
Just waiting to figure out the next step.
Well, not necessarily me as much as just, you know, or anything that I'm doing. I wonder what music's going to deliver us, you know, because, you know, we've seen, you know, for the last 10 years, we've seen, you know, new music, some stuck and some faded and like that, you know, so we'll just have to see.
Well, speaking of music, you're once again, your newest album, Welcome Home, came back out in September. And I know it's kind of like choosing a favorite child, but what are some of your favorite songs on the album? What are the ones you really look forward to playing
Welcome
live?
Home. Welcome Home is probably my favorite track because it was the first track. You know, that was the first track we wrote on this record, and that one just gave me fits. And I love that track because, like, when you hear that song, there's so much emotion in that track. You would think, when you hear that track, that that was post-Vinny. Mm-hmm. Vinny heard that song a million times. Vinny loved that song. You know, so that's kind of a spoiler alert to people, like that, because just the natural raw emotion and the lyrical content of that song very much feels like something that would have been post Vinny passing. But that's just how I write, period. You know, why are my feelings have lost like a welcome home, and just how it all applied and how it all came around and just everything. And then I remember writing that that lyric and coming up with that was the name of the track. And we got to the end of the record and we're like, what are we going to call the record? What are we going to call the record kind of thing? And I'm just like, what about Welcome Home? You know, now it had taken on a whole new meaning.
It really works. Because, it works well and yeah, it ties everything together.
Well, that song was written and I kind of had that little lightning in a bottle moment with writing that song and coming up with that name. But then after Vinny passed, and then we're further down the rabbit hole and we're like further along and we're like, what are we gonna name the record? You know, there was different song titles and stuff like that. I'm like, what about what we did when I felt like we caught lightning in a bottle with Welcome Home for a song title? Because now the song, that title, Welcome Home, has really taken on a whole new meaning from when it was written, because it was written pre-Vinny's passing.
Right.
But now you got this thing, Welcome Home, and Vinny going home, so to speak, to be with his brother, to be with his mother, to be with, his people, and feeling like Vinny was always watching out for us, you know? And that was like a no-brainer. It was like, Welcome Home, that should be the name of the album.
Yeah.
You know, and because it, like I said, it did take on a new responsibility and a new meaning and a new life, and it was it's a beautiful thing when you think to look at it that Vinny is home, that he did go home. He's still with us, I believe it fully, but if I know one thing about that man, he loved no one more than he loved his brother, and every day was heartache for him being away from Dime. As much as we carried that torch for Dime, which we were happy to do, when he went to go be with him again,
finally got to stop hurting.
It gives you a sense of relief.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good. Yep. Well, it's as much as we're all very sad to no longer have him with us, it's good to know that he's reunited and is no longer in pain. That's very good.
He's still with us. You know, he is still with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have one last question. This is a question that we ask every interview.
Okay.
If you could pick a scar on your body and tell me how you got it.
I don't even know. I'm sure I've got a bunch on my head from punching myself. Did I have scars?
First time I saw you were punching yourself.
Well, I still do. That's never gone away. That'll probably never go away. I like to think that I'm putting things together in there, but I think I'm just jostling more to a part. I don't know. I've had a couple shoulder surgeries. Those are pretty gnarly. Chick six scars. And they were brutal, beyond painful. I feel sorry for anybody that's had shoulder surgeries. They're miserable.
Not one of the DJs from the show is having shoulder surgery right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Oh, my God.
That's why he's not here.
Oh, my heart goes out to you, brother. I did the first one, and I swear to God, I thought I was going to kill myself. I was like, I cannot do this. I cannot handle this pain. It was incessant, relentless, nonstop. And you know what you do? And I'll tell your guy that's getting this done or whatever, you can't even wrap your head around it. It hurts so goddamn bad, you know, that first couple days. And then all of a sudden, one day, like the third day, I was like, okay, the only way I'm going to get through this is to go to focus when I wake up on feeling 1% better.
Huh.
If
that's
I feel
smart. I like
if
that.
I feel 1% better, and I woke up the next day and I was like, I'm still in a lot of pain, but I know that I do feel 1% better. So tonight when I go to bed, I'm going to ask myself, do I, and I felt 1% better. And that's how I learned to manage the pain, was by going, okay, I feel 1% better. Don't look at the whole thing, because you're not just going to wake up and it's going to be gone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Oh yeah.
But if you can focus on 1% better, you know, in any situation in life, I suppose, if you could say, I feel 1% better today than I did yesterday,
yeah,
that's a
absolutely.
Good thing.
No, it's so, good life advice.
Yeah, so we can use that as life advice. So just work on feeling 1% better and focus on that. And the next thing you know, you're 50% better, and then you're 75% better, and then you're 95% better.
There you go.
And there you go.
That's very solid advice for Ian. I'll make sure to pass that along.
Make sure to pass it along.
He's going through some pain right now. Well, thank you very much for your time. Once again, this is Chad Gray from Hell Yeah. Their newest album, Welcome Home, came out back in September. If you haven't picked it up yet, do yourself a favor and go check that out. It's got the riffs.
Thank you.
Once again, this is The Beard from Metal Shop. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.